Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely. I'm also joined by my co-host, as always, Justin Cook. Justin, how you doing out there, bud?
Not too shabby.
Having a pretty good show tonight. I think it's going along pretty well. We didn't really plan anything, guys. I mean, we just had 10 minutes before, actually 5 minutes before the show started, we finally made a phone call and decided what we wanted to talk about. So we're just, two guys out here shooting it off the top of the head,
Pretty much just like a freestyle, except for
except for
and
all spitting truth like Beanie Siegel.
Yeah.
I gotta get that ready for the next break.
And I gotta say, of course, too, with having the interactive chat with you guys and everybody in our groups and everything, makes it so much easier to spitball up some of these topics and whatnot. That's the
oh,
thing.
Oh, I got a bunch of stuff from the chat. A bunch of stuff I got
totally.
From the chat, from ideas from you guys. It's awesome. Keep them coming. Keep the ideas coming. You know what I mean?
Totally. Trying to think. What else has been going on recently? Anything you wanted to get into? Since we're now that we're back, or
specifically, I mean, just some things we already touched on a little bit. I wanted to get a little deeper into, how our tax money goes to fund the whole, Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and how many Palestinians are being wiped out by the Israelis, and how basically it seems like, and I don't know this for a fact, but it seems like, the whole World War, the whole Holocaust thing and everything with Germany and the United States. I mean, that seems like it was just done to set up Israel.
It was 100%.
I mean, what do you think? What do you think?
100%. The whole, and here's the thing, when I say this, the Holocaust for the most part, was a hoax. Yeah, did a lot of people die? Yes, they did. A lot of Jewish people died. I'm not claiming that. I'm not a denier of it. However, there's a lot of lies that go with it. As far as like the 6 million number, that wasn't the first time that it was claimed that 6 million Jews were killed either. They also claimed it in 1918. Going back to the and then you have the other things of we've talked about it before, how like the census and stuff, like the fact of how many people were still left after, and then we have professional testimony from the likes of a guy, Fred Luechner, who was a expert in execution methods, and he went there and studied Auschwitz and a couple other ones and said that there was positively no gas chambers there. So I mean, and that's the thing. I hate to go and be linked in with the Holocaust denier, but you know what? It's the truth, guys. It is. I mean, and I'm not saying that nobody was killed and people. Yes, people
no,
did
we,
starve
we can
to
just
death.
Say,
and,
we don't have to say we don't have to deny it. We can just say it's greatly
well,
exaggerated in the very least.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
At the very
know.
Least, it's greatly, greatly exaggerated, and the numbers are very skewed to make you feel for the, for the Jewish people in Israel. You know what I mean? The numbers
right.
are definitely skewed, big
well,
time.
Well, and here's another thing too is the fact that if you look at it now, and here's the thing, I'm not a Hitler supporter by any means. He was a total scumbag puppet. But that's all he was. He was a puppet. He was put in there to do what he did. I believe he was mind controlled, most likely by Aleister Crowley, who was a British intelligence officer. Most likely a double agent, really just a New World Order agent. But to make a long story short, the whole thing about Hitler, and like the Jews and whatnot, they did have them in concentration camps. Many were worked to death. Many died of starvation. Like I said, what we've shown, in the Steven Spielberg movies and stuff, for the most part, is not true. And then we have a Nobel laughureate winner, Elie Wiesel, and this guy gets paid, tens of thousands of dollars to speak all over the country, and this is something it's something not a lot of people want to talk about, but this guy claims to have a tattoo from the camps or whatever. And then again, I've seen multiple pictures of like pretty much both of his arms, and there's no no ink anywhere. You know, and I mean, this is, it's a really controversial subject, more controversial so than almost the even almost so anything. Than 9/11. Yeah, it's more controversial. You know, it's not as new as 9/11, but it's very controversial, and people will you know, people don't want to hear the truth. But the main thing is you know, they were setting up the German government was actually working with the World Zionist organization, World Zionist Conference at the time, which was run by one of the Rothschild brothers. And they were actually had a transfer agreement, and they were actually they started before the war sending Jews to live in Palestine to get ready for this thing. And then at some point they decided to you know, to attack Poland and start the war and whatever else. And you know, and then again, here there's a few things too as far as when you look at it, the technology that Hitler had, you know, for him to you know, for him to start the war when he did, you know, okay, fine, but for him to go back and go and attack the Soviet Union makes absolutely no sense. So, you know, so my guess in that whole thing is that was, you know, that was planned, that it was planned to have the Soviet Union, the U.S. and Britain come out as the superpowers afterwards, which set up the whole, you know, Cold War. And which set up Israel, which, you know, and that was the whole thing about it. You know, that was the you know, the major thing, like we said, with the whole Balfour Declaration and everything that was set up. You know, and it was enacted by the United Nations to recognize Israel, of course, or I believe at that time it was called the League of Nations. Either way, you know, this, if you know, if you look at it, their Supreme Court, I believe, is called the Rothschild Building, or it's on Rothschild Boulevard. I'm sorry if I'm mistaken with this stuff, but the Rothschilds are highly revered in Israel too. So I mean, it's not like it's not like it's just a conspiracy theory. This Ashkenazi family was definitely had a lot to do with the founding of Israel. And of course, you know, this ties in with the Freemasons who want to rebuild Solomon's temple. The Zionists have their own thing too there, because they want to, they want to have that land and knock down the, Dome of the Rock and the Alaska Mosque that is now currently, you know, where the temple used to be. And then, of course, you have the Vatican, which also, you know, wants in there, and so I mean, it's really been a fight since the Holy War, since the Crusades, and the Templars and everything, and nothing has changed since then, except they've just changed, you know, they pretended to change sides a little bit, but really we have the same dichotomy that we had then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Real quick. Just want to address something in the chat. Yeah. Gabe is talking about real bloodline Jews and 12 million other people were burned alive in mass rituals supervised by the Vatican Jesuits. Holocaust. And, right. Yes, I have heard that. I don't know. Really, 12 million. If you have anything, send something on that. But yes, and then he says that they're Ashkenazis and Khazars, not bloodline Israelites. Yeah, definitely. What I'll talk about real quick is, most of the modern day Zionists and 92%, something like that, of Israeli residents are actually from Europe and like actually where it's like Europe and Asia, where actually so the Soviet Union is now.
Russia too, right? There you go.
Yes, Soviet it is.
Union. Yep.
Right. You have the actually, they were a breed of people. It was the Khazarian Empire, and you had, I believe, the Mongoloids came over, at some point were waging war. They took over this part, and then under that empire, they embraced Judaism. And that is, you know, way after the biblical times. So, of course, no, they have no, like, you know, as far as people saying, you know, we have a blood right to that. No, they're not from that land. if anything, I say, you know, you want somewhere to live or whatever. Well, let Russia give it to you, because that's, you know, originally where you're from. You know, I mean, that's the thing. And a lot of them also are Sephardic, which Sephardics are from Spain and Portugal, and most of them have no lineage traceable back to the Holy Land. And also too,
most people have no clue of this information either. This is good stuff right here. Keep going.
Of course, yeah. And now, you know, there's also a lot of question of where exactly the Holy Land was. You know, a lot of people even question if it was exactly in where present day Israel, Palestine is now. A lot of people believe that it was actually farther over Mesopotamia and Iraq, and, you know, possibly over to Ethiopia. You know, I mean, but a lot of this is, you know, it's not necessarily 100%, you know, well, that part right there is not 100%. The rest of it is, I believe. But yeah, no, this stuff is, nothing is new. This stuff is all goes back to the Babylonian Talmud, the Kabbalah, the Egyptian mystery schools, and it's just been picked up. You know, and this was a lot of the stuff that was stolen by the Templars. It was taken from the, you know, Alexandria, Egypt, and taken from, you know, Solomon's Temple, and it was brought to the Vatican, and that's where we get to where we are nowadays, to the present day Vatican. And of course, during the Reformation, the Jesuits took over the Vatican, and you know, it's always kind of been a Luciferian doctrine, you know, cloaked in a bit of Christianity. But nowadays, if you look at it, it's, you know, it's really, really, it's really run to shit. It's really, you know, the Vatican is a disgusting, just hierarchy, cabal now, if you look at it, between the regular pope. You know, there was a couple decent regular popes. You know, obviously, you had Hitler's pope, which was, I believe, Pius the 10th or Pius the 12th, and he, you know, he was very instrumental in, you know, in as far as, you know, helping out the Nazis and everything, and that's the whole thing. So, I mean, you had the Vatican supported their whole agenda through World War II. You know, they had the Odessa Rat Line and helped them get into South America. There's actually current there's current Nazis living in Argentina and other countries down there. You know, people that are from the families of Joseph Mengele and Heinrich Himmler and a bunch of other ones, and they go down there. There's whole German communities in these countries, and that was from the Vatican rat lines that got them out of there after World War II. Actually, Gabe, we talked about that a little earlier in the show, where the hexagram, where the Rothschild actually took it, which is now what most Jews would know as the Star of David. It has nothing to do with David. It was actually, you know, from Solomon's Temple. And then it was taken as from the Rothschild's logo. And that was, you know, another thing which was made to represent Jewish identity, when in reality, it has nothing to do with it. It's, you know, it's, and also, the Israeli flag, the Orthodox Jews believe a menorah should have been on there, not the Star of David or the Solomon, you know, the Star of Solomon or the Seal of Solomon, sorry. But I definitely agree. Good info, Gabe. I think we're totally on the same page there. From you know, with all this. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else ties into this. I mean, everything ties into this. This is where, you know, this is where the world we have today is from, and this is from the you know, the propaganda that they push. You know, this is, it all stems back from it. They still every year they push this this same thing. And think about it. Even the alternative media pushes this. Oh, well, look what Hitler did do. You know, same type of thing, you know, and obviously, I mean, I guess you could say, well, if they're saying that Hitler's a puppet just like Obama is, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, I that's the only way I can compare Obama to Hitler, is that they're both puppets. Besides that, it just doesn't make sense. You know, same thing with Bush too. It's, but I don't know. You know, we all know that. I'm just disgusted at, you know, You know what bothers me? I want to get on my soapbox for a minute. Is I've talked about it before, but all these people nowadays embracing Joe Arpaio.
The Sheriff Joe. Yes. Sheriff Joe guy I hear about all the time.
Yes, from Maricopa County, Arizona, for letting out a few tidbits of information on Obama. Now, for one, you know, this information would have been good about 3 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, you know, when he was running for president. But right now, it's to me, I believe Obama's done. I don't believe that they're going to push him in again. I think that they're going to go with Romney. I think that their thing with Obama was just to cause some hate and everything else. And he, you know, he's very low rated. They know that. So, they did it on purpose. So I think they're going to push in Romney. You know, I don't get me wrong, guys. I know I was talking about Paul being the president. I haven't abandoned that totally. I just think that a big event has to happen to where the American people will accept it and don't think that anything will change there either as far as for the best.
Nothing will if they put him in. And if they don't, they're just going to use him to string you along and keep you buying into the electoral process, think you have somebody that's going to stick up for you. In reality, he's never done anything for everybody. Everybody's acts like this guy's, you know, what's he really done for the truth community? Seriously. Besides, you know, say a couple of the right things, you know what I mean? And not even all the right things, just a few of the right things, you know?
Yeah, totally.
He's not going to audit the Federal Reserve. He's not going to reinvestigate 9/11. He's not going to do any of that stuff. He doesn't even talk about that. You know what I mean? He won't. He knows he can't, and he doesn't want to.
Yeah, well, as far as the audit of the Federal Reserve goes, like I said, we have the CAFR, which really, you know, it is an audit. What we need is to shut it down and to give it back to the government. We can't do it with the government being crooked. But again, he's a part of the same crooked government, you know. And not only that, but the whole thing on this, you know, the audit, the Fed bill that's going through, it's nothing. It's just giving them more lip service, to make a couple of people think that this guy is a hero. You know, the whole thing about it though is you know, the fact that they're able to run every microcosm of this and the fact that people still fall for it. I don't get it. I really don't. You know, I really don't get it. You know, it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And
yeah,
we still have people in the alternative media that are worshiping these Judases, and I don't get it. I really don't. I never will. I mean, as far as, you know, and here's the thing, even for me and Brian, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody worships us, but as far as you know, take what we're saying with a grain of salt, obviously, and do your own research, see where it fits in. You know, nobody is going to be on track 100%. Me and Brian, we definitely try to give you the truth as much as we know it, and we're not afraid to talk about any topic. I think that's what the difference is.
We make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But you know what, guys? Just do this. Just do us one favor. Before you share an article or something that you call to be a fact with a bunch of people, just double check it, triple check it. You know what I mean? Read through it. Don't just grab a headline and not even read through it and just share it with everybody, because then they're thinking you did read through it and it is factual information. You got to use yourself as being like that truth filter, and when you see some bullshit, you got to weed it out. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the best we can do. You know, this in this day of instant information, Twitter, Facebook, I mean, things get passed around like crazy. You can get so much information coming in so fast. You know what I mean? You just got to use discernment. We all got to use discernment. We all have to take some responsibility with that. We do. You know what I mean, Justin?
Yeah, no, totally. You're 100% right. But, you know, here's the thing is a lot of people have no discernment. A lot of people, because it fits into their conspiratorial view, will push something. So in other words, if a person believes martial law is coming and they hear a rumor that martial law is in some town or something or whatever, you know, like say what's going on in Anaheim, which I'm not taking that lightly. I think it's definitely, you know, not right to have, you know, troops on the street and everything. But as far as, you know, that situation goes, actually, I believe that they're still calling them Anaheim PD or whatever. But, you know, as far as the situation goes, you know, is it really lockdown martial law? You know, I mean, it, you know, that's those are the things, like you said, it comes down to. And people, if it fits into, you know, the government, you know, the Obama is evil thing, and he's, you know, invoking martial law. Well, they're gonna make it viral, and you know, and I'm just using that as an example. There's so many other examples I could have used. That's just the first one that came to mind. But, you know, and that's the whole thing about this. You know, and yes, there is FEMA camps. You know, do they plan to lock up every American? No. Will they? You know, if the shit hits the fan, will they come and get a few possibly? Yeah, I mean, I think they may use false pretenses and or you know, arrest a bunch of activists at a rally and say that they were, you know, causing violence or, you know, something. But I can't. It makes no sense for them to stop the whole country's motor and go and lock up however many people Alex Jones says is going to be in these FEMA camps. It makes no sense whatsoever for them. And here's the thing: we know they're trying to bankrupt the country. But they still need.
If they lock you in a FEMA camp, they don't make money off your taxes. They're right. Not gonna. You know what I mean? You're not gonna giving them all the money you're giving them right now in your invisible prison.
Not only taxes, but it's how much, you know, how much of your work and how much off of, you know, just you contributing to the system. You know, they need these people to do that. So I mean, it makes no sense to, you know, and that's the thing. And I mean, you know, we've been hearing about martial law since the 90s now. You know, you can go back and YouTube probably has them, you know, guys talking about red list, blue list. It's going to, and people warned, oh, it's going to happen in 94. It's going to happen in 96. It's going to happen in 2000, you know, before Y2K. And every time it's been wrong. Am I saying it's, you know, never going to happen? Most likely, no. You know, I mean, I can't rule it out 100%, but to me, it's fear mongering. I think we have to look towards. You know, we have to stop worrying about martial law and really just worry about soft kill and how to avoid that. That's my, you know, my main thesis.
Yeah,
that's
what they do. I mean, soft kill's everywhere. It's in the food. It's in the air. It's everywhere, you know? I just wish everybody could see it, you know? Regular people won't see it, you know? So-called, not regular people. I consider ourselves regular people, but you know what I mean. The mainstream community of people, they just, you know, you try and show them chemtrails, they think you're nuts. And it's right there in front of you, man. Look up. It's like my friend's father was saying to me the other night when I was at his house. He's a member of our group, James Tianakis. You guys have seen him in the groups. I went by his house, and he was telling me that. He's like, hey, I swear to God, and we hadn't even posted nothing on Facebook about it, Justin, and we were talking about this. And he was like, hey, did you see all the chemtrails yesterday? Talking about Tuesday again, just like we were talking about. And I was like, you know what? I did see them everywhere, and I was talking with Justin about it, and it was all over the whole city. He's like, yeah, I was at the store, and they had the lines going across the whole sky, filling up the whole sky, and I tried to show some lady, and she was looking at me like I'm nuts, and that's what they do. They look at you like you're nuts, but in reality, they're friggin' retarded. They're zombies. They're walking, you know what I mean? And you feel bad for them. You do. You want to help them. I'm not saying turn your back on them. Absolutely not.
I've had educated friends tell me I'm nuts, and they're watching him spray it. And I've actually had a friend of mine actually sat there, and you know, we were sitting outside for a good 45 minutes or so. So we had had a chance to see a few planes go by, and some were making regular contrails, which were disappearing right after the plane, and some were making these, you know, regular long big things that were spreading out. And this person was still in denial of it and said, no, it's just the altitude it was flying at. And we're talking about planes that are flying at the same exact altitude, you know, maybe 1,000 feet different. You know, we're talking, you know, 35,000, one was 37. You know, they weren't, it's not like one was at 60,000, another one was at 20,000. No, these planes were in the same sky in the same area. And one was leaving a big, long, thick contrail that, that spread out all day long, and the other one was disappearing, you know, 20 seconds behind the plane. And, you know, and I tried to explain it to him, and he just said, why would they do that? You know, and until the government comes out and admits it, they're not going to believe it. And they'll say, oh, well, that's what they're doing now. They're trying, like I was talking about earlier, you know, they're supposedly going to say they're going to put some kind of sulfur in the atmosphere to deflect the sun rays, to stop global warming. Well, you know, like I said, you know, that's That was the whole thing. What does that do? That causes acid rain, like we had to worry about in the 80s and, you know, 90s. So they just recycle these spheres. There's a question from Fairy Tale Finkel in the chat. So what are the coffins for then? Just more fear-mongering? You know, I think like anything else, I mean, you know, they do have this stuff and, you know, you do have events like Katrina. You do have events like that where, you know, where there could be mass casualties or whatever, you know, and it, yeah, I mean, those are, I believe they're coffin liners anyway. And I mean, you know, the whole thing is, I'm not saying that these people are never going to kill anyone, but I don't see them marching you at gunpoint to it. You know what I mean? They're more than likely going to use a weather attack on somewhere, or, you know, something like that, in my opinion, or a pandemic, which, you know, it more fits into the soft kill thing. You know, it's so much easier to make up a disease and kill a bunch of people than it is to go and, you know, the days of marching people by gunpoint and killing them and you know, it's pretty, it doesn't make sense, because, you know, regardless of if the citizens win or not, too many people wouldn't stand for that shit, you know. And not only that, but you think people would go to work the next day knowing that they're someone they know just got taken to a concentration camp? No, I mean, yeah, I know the fluoride's strong, but it's not that strong. People would fight back when it comes to that point, you know. Maybe that is the thing. Maybe they want that split, and they're going to evoke left versus right. And, you know, like we said, but that's the main thing too. They're not going to do it themselves. They may invoke riots and have people killed and everything else. But, you know, as far as them, yeah, don't get me wrong. They'll tase the shit out of them. Cops shoot people all the time. But as far as a mass murder campaign, the only way they're doing it by polluting our air and our food and our water. They don't, you know, they don't need to stick a gun in our mouth.
Justin, we have a caller. James Sloan is calling in. We're going to add him to the call, all right?
Awesome.
You're live. Dose of Reality Radio.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, James. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. Just having a few drinks, you know.
Nice. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was just wondering when you're talking about the whole slow kill and everything. Like, just wondering if you guys had an idea, like, you know, but like what age you think that people could live to, you know, like, and why, like, you know, like in Japan, like, people do live past 100 a lot. Like, they say that's because of like protein or whatever. But like, what, you know, what age do you guys reckon that people could live to, you know, if we were doing everything like naturally, you know?
Like what age do I think people can live to naturally, like, without, like say,
if there was
say
no
they,
slow kill, he's saying. He's saying if right, there was if, no slow
if,
kill going on.
If there was no slow kill, but then on the other hand, like, no, transhumanism either, I would probably say, to be honest, nowadays with just the medical, as far as the medical field has gotten, I would say 120, at least into the hundreds, because, you know, you look at it, our grandparents lived to be 80s and 90s. If we didn't have the slow kill agenda out and we had all the information out, you know, knew about cancer cures, knew about, you know, knew about, you know, just how to there's so much stuff out there, even stuff where like by frequency will kill a disease. You know, if we had all this stuff, I think we could live well into our hundreds. And, you know, we're seeing for the first time ever, the baby boomer generation is going to die before their parents. And which doesn't make sense with all the medical breakthroughs that we've had, you know, and yet we have cancer rates that are sky high in every developed nation. And yet, you know, it really makes you wonder. But I definitely think, you know, with all the herbs and everything that we know, if they weren't slow killings, I say no problem. You know, like I said,
I think
definitely
so too.
Hundreds, yeah.
I think if we had the right diet and everything the whole time from the beginning, absolutely, 120.
Yep.
No problem. What do you think, James?
Yeah, I guess it's a lot of it. I mean, I don't know, but a lot of it would be also, like, I guess that you would age a lot slower, you know? Like, you at 60, you wouldn't look like most 60. You'd probably look like a 40-year-old, you know? Like,
right.
You'd probably age, like, 20 years behind.
Exactly. You know, and that's a lot of it too. People don't realize, like, you know, what you're eating and everything else plays so much into how you look and little things like, you know, to where if you still have teeth or still have you know, your seeing, your hearing, your hair, your skin care, you know, the condition of your skin, everything is by what you eat and what supplements you take and how you take care of yourself. And you know, look at a meth addict or whatever, you know, that within 5 years they've aged 20 years. I mean, it makes sense. That's pretty much what we're doing to our bodies when we're eating fast food and eating constant nitrates and drinking, washing it down with fluoride and high fructose corn syrup, and smoking 3 packs a day. And you know, I do smoke a lot of cigarettes, you know, and I am overweight, so maybe I'm not the guy to ask for it, but I definitely have learned a lot, and I believe that most of it is true as far as the stuff that's been withheld from us.
Do you think that smoking, like, gets a bad rap a little bit? I mean, like, you know, yes. People smoke cigarettes since forever, you know, but cancer rates have only shot up, you know, recently.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Here's the thing. Now, smoking, the Native Americans smoked tobacco for hundreds of years, or, I mean, you know, thousands of years. And I think they lived pretty long considering their conditions until they, you know, got smallpox vaccines by the Brits and everything. But, you know, so no, I think smoking by itself, if you just had real tobacco leaf, organic tobacco leaf, and rolled it, you know, in something, you know, real organic tobacco paper, I don't think that the cancer rates would be anywhere near what they are now. But however, now when you look at a cigarette, you have all these preservatives in it, all these crazy chemicals. You have all these things to get you hooked, and then they just added to it the thing that goes out, will make the cigarette burn out if you don't, you know, take a drag off in a little while to stop people from burning their houses down. Well, that drug or that chemical they put on there is highly toxic. Should have never passed through the FDA, but it did. And it's going to give a lot of people cancer. And you know, interesting, James, actually, I was just reading something the other day. It's a little off topic, but as far as the HPV vaccine, I was reading about a girl in your neck of the woods in New Zealand. She had just taken the HPV vaccine about 2 weeks or a month before. And since then, hadn't been the same, ended up dying. And we're talking, you know... We're talking over 100 victims since they started putting this out and started pushing it on so many people. So, I mean, you know, that's another end of it, of course, too, the vaccine end.
Yeah, I mean, I remember getting at least two or three, maybe four of those vaccines at school, you know, when I was a kid. Like,
yep.
You know, what can I do now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the main thing is really is just to learn our enemy and learn how they're killing us and how to counter it. You know, how to keep your pH levels good and how to, you know, your alkaline, to balance your alkaline and acidity and all this other stuff out there. You know, colloidal silver, which was used for years. That's what they used during, you know, the Civil War and everything before there was antibiotics. That's what they used in all these.
A friend of mine swears by it. He uses it.
Colloidal silver is great. It's actually.
Said he never gets sick.
No, you don't. You can give it to your pets too. You know, you can give it to your pets. You can. It's not, you know, and then there's a propaganda going around about the guy that turned blue, but supposedly he was rubbing it on his face for one, and also he was mixing salt in it, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to make it with actual distilled water and everything. Pure distilled water. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this stuff, and I've never heard of anyone else turn blue. I have a lot of other friends I know that have been taking it for years, and never get sick ever. So,
yeah, a good friend of mine takes that stuff, and he swears by it, and he never gets sick. And he's always telling me I need to get it.
Yeah, well, the thing is we can make it. And that's what I want to do. I was just talking to Rob yesterday, my neighbor. We're just talking about him. and he's pretty good with stuff like that. And all you need is one of those battery packs with the positive and that, you know, the little tiny, I'm not talking like the ones that are one of those things that you need two silver rods, I believe, and I believe like a beaker, like you know, like a glass beaker container, and you just put the you know, there's how to's all over YouTube, but it's a very simple process, and you know, and all you need is distill. It's all stuff you can go buy at a local. You know, you don't have to send
away.
How much
would you say the rods cost?
To be honest, I don't know about, you know, what the price of silver right now, but I wouldn't imagine more than like 15, 20 bucks, you know, nothing crazy, if that. You know, but that, see, everyone's saying I can't afford it, but here's the thing about it, guys, you can make it yourself. If you can make it yourself, you know, you can afford it. I know a lot of people that are broken, you know what, I'm broke myself, but people that are broke that make it. And the fact is how much are they saving by not having to buy, you know, all these other medicines and things, you know, all this other NyQuil and everything else and doctor visits and every, you know, I think in the long run you save and like that, but it's worth it to not be sick and to not, you know, feel like shit, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Of course it's worth it.
Yeah, you sorry, James. Go ahead.
It makes you think as well, like about, well, this whole thing about sports, like, you know, for the real physical sports, a lot of people these days are like done by the time they're in their 30s. Like, it makes you wonder if, you know, you were aging slower, like people could play like elite sports, you know, like, well into their 40s,
probably.
You know,
yeah,
like, if they did everything right, you know.
Well,
like,
yeah,
the real physical one.
I definitely think so. But I also think with sports too. I mean, depending on the sport, you know. The competition gets better and better too. So I mean, you know, once you lose one step or whatever, like say in soccer or football or something like that, it's probably, you know, you're gonna take your spot taken by a lighter guy. But what are you saying, like, just in general, that people don't play as many sports anymore, like or just don't live as active? Or are you saying like the guys, like the professional sports players?
Well, just, you know, how people, like, you take sprinters, you know, they seem to peak at like 25 or something. Or,
right.
Just, I always thought it's real young to start losing your speed, you know. Like, some guys are still real quick at 30, you know. Like, it's not really old, you know. Like, you think you'd be able to keep your speed more, you know.
No, it's definitely not old. I'll tell you what, though. I don't know, Brian, what do you think? Brian's a good athlete and everything. And would you say when you hit your 30s that you started to you know, were you just as good as baseball and soccer? Or do you feel like you lost a step?
I feel like I lost a step a little bit, but that's also because I don't practice every day like I used to. So it's kind of hard to compare it. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to put that on my age when I'm not out there practicing. I'm just showing up to games. You know what I mean?
Right.
I used
to
practice double sessions 5 days a week. It makes a huge difference, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I was watching a little of the Olympics last night. A little off topic, but James, I know you're a runner. Oh man, that Usain Bolt, unbelievable. The guy was running like probably 3/4 speed after like the first 100 meters.
They said he's the only guy to ever win the 200 in consecutive Olympics.
Except Carl.
That's how
Lewis
quick they lose it. Did he? I don't know. Did he? He might have.
Maybe that was the 100, but I could have sworn he matched Carl Lewis's record. Could be wrong though. Maybe it's the 100.
Yeah, it might be. I thought it was, but either way, I mean, that's just something you don't see happen all the time, even with the best in the world. Like James was saying, they peak when they're like 25, so they don't even really get another chance around the Olympics. By that time, I mean, the other people are already passing them. You got to wonder if we had better nutrition and better air to breathe and everything else, if it would make a big difference, and I think it would. Better medicine, better vitamins. How about that? The vitamins instead of synthetic vitamins. Yeah. Better supplements. You know, I think that would make a huge difference.
We have a question in the chat for James from Fairy Tale Finkel over there. He wants to know, like, you know, how bad is it on your side of the world? I believe he means like as far as like the police state and as far as you know. So, like laws and you know, and some and crackdowns on everything. How was it as far as like, you know, when you were a kid compared to now, and you know, what are you you know, what do you think about the world? I mean, you know, or at least your side of the world in general.
Well, I mean, it's a little different. I mean, like generally over here, I would say like most, like police, for example, were pretty good. You know, maybe like an 80-20 split, maybe 70-30. Yeah. Whereas I hear over in your parts, most people say it's probably the other way around. You know, most cops are probably not that good. But it's a bit different. Like our cops aren't armed. You know, so like it's a little different. You know, obviously with the crime rate and stuff. But
your cops aren't armed.
Well, they have guns, but they don't like they don't carry one on them, you know, generally. It's quite unusual, though, like, you know, most countries do, but, I mean, they probably will be eventually, but at the moment they're not. But it seems to work for them, I mean, but...
That's crazy.
Yeah. But, again, I mean, it's hard to say, like, you know... most of the laws are similar. The only difference probably would be like prostitution is legal here. Well, they changed that like a few years back.
How are your laws on cannabis over there?
Pretty much the same as yours here.
Is there any provinces or anything that allow like medical grows or anything like that, or is it just strictly it's still prohibited or?
I think it's prohibited, yeah. I haven't heard of much medicinal. But, I mean, we only got 4 million people in the whole country, so, you know, it's sort of... I think Australia, you know, is probably a better example. They're starting to get cracked down on a lot of stuff, you know, because Australia has been quite close to the States, you know, ever since sort of after 9/11, you know, they got real buddy-buddy with them. After that, whereas we've sort of kept our distance a little more.
Yeah,
like we didn't go to Iraq or anything, whereas Australia did.
Right. Normally, you guys are arm in arm in pretty much every conflict or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we were in Vietnam.
Right.
And stuff like this, basically, towards
what's
the
it
80s.
Was it called the ANZAC troops? Correct, in World War II also.
Well, I mean, after the Second World War, you know, we sort of figured that, you know, England couldn't really protect us. You know, they're too far away, so we tried to get close with the States. But, you know, unfortunately, we banned like everything nuclear in this country. So, you know, they couldn't send their ships down here or anything. And, you know, eventually. You know, we sort of fell away a little bit. Not really allies anymore, more sort of just friends, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, they played, the ANZAC troops played a real big part in World War II as far as, you know, blockading the Japanese ships and even, you know, ground fighting and whatnot over in a lot of those islands over there. Even in Europe and stuff, too. You know, I mean, it's, you know, and like the World Wars, I mean, you know, it's a global thing. That's the thing about, you know, this whole thing now. It's you know, it's not going to be, you know, too different really anywhere. I mean, unless you're talking about, you know, a very small, you know, sovereign country or whatever, you know, or like an island country, you know, like a small island country or something. You know, for the most part, if you're a big industrialized established nation, you're going to be, you know, subjected to the same bullshit as the rest of us. So I mean, you know, New Zealand, Australia, you know, the Europe, it's you know, same shit everywhere. You know, I do think though, as far as the U.S. goes, I do think that they will throw us one bone, and that's going to be the legalization of cannabis. However, I can see them somehow messing with it where. Big pharma has some type of piece in it, and you know, and it ends up just like the cigarette business, you know, where you know they're extracting the good stuff, and you know, and adding shit to it, and probably not going to be able, you know, the normal person's probably not going to be able to grow their own plants and stuff, you know, stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe it'll start out okay,
James,
but
we have some, I don't know. We have a question in the chat for you from Fairy Tale Finkel. They want to know, they said to ask you, what's your general thought about America and the Americans?
Or what's,
I know,
what's
that's the, kind of a broad question, I know. But
or what's the thought in not really yourself, but like what would like a non-awake person, you know, in New Zealand think of Americans or you know or the American government or whatever?
Well, I mean, it's quite a difference between the government and the people. I mean, it's sort of hard to say. I mean, but it's not. People in America probably think that people around the world are awake, but they're not really, you know, it's much the same, you know, it's sort of maybe like a 50-50 split. I mean, most people like Americans and all that. It's just that it's difficult because when you talk about things like 9/11 and all that, you know, that there's a lot of people at different levels, you know, in terms of just the basic Michael Moore incompetence level to the let it happen, to the make it happen. You know, there's a lot of people sort of stuck around there somewhere, but I mean the difference probably is that, you know, I mean, like, you know, if people are a little less emotionally attached to things over here, I mean, you know, you can talk about 9/11 a little more openly, you know, you won't, only one or two people will call you crazy, you know, like, you get a lot of support, probably maybe a 50-50 split.
Well, that's cool.
But I mean, but again, you know, I mean, you know, I mean,
most people probably don't realize, though. They just kind of go with the flow, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it's just like here. You know, most people aren't looking into this stuff.
No, but we would think that people. What's that?
Most people these days just don't have the time, you know, particularly 11 years after these events, you know, people. A lot of people do this just too far in the past now, you know, but, yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, the American government and the American people are two totally different things, you know.
Right.
I think most people can keep that separate, I would hope, you know. But when people talk about America attacking, you know, they're not talking about the people, they're just talking about
military. The government.
Something I always talk about, I mean, you know, you can support the troops. You can support the troops, but be against the war. You know, it's not the
right
same thing. You know?
Right.
Yeah, it's not the same thing at all because most of them think they're doing the right thing, so you support what they think they're trying to do. You know, so
right.
You're not really
against
giving them their orders.
And you feel bad that an 18-year-old kid has been misled so bad into thinking that he's doing the right thing.
Justin, he can't walk in the store and get a beer, but he can go sign up for the army and get his head fucking blown off.
I know.
That makes a lot of sense.
James, quick question from me, actually. What about over there? I'm sure the world. I'm sure, you know, over there in New Zealand, they probably thought Bush was an idiot like the rest of the world did. Did they believe the Obama hype or has that died down or what? I know the world was like mesmerized by this big puppet of you know, Obama.
Not so much though. It was just such a big deal about him being the first black president, you know, that
right.
Kind of overshadowed everything else, you know.
Yeah, fairy tale said to tell you that that their friend fairy tale. Are you a guy or a girl? So that I can address you properly when I say
that's Jibs, man. Fairy tale Finkel's Jibs. It's just it's a joke on somebody we grew up with. That's what his name
All right. So he just wanted us to tell you that he asked that question because his friend in Paris said the whole world is laughing at us. That's why he wanted to ask. But that's not really the truth. I mean, most of the people probably are just going about doing their own thing. You know what I mean? They probably don't even pay attention to any of it, you know?
Yeah, most people are just as blind as everywhere. It's just things are discussed.
They have media everywhere, you know? Of course.
Things are discussed a little more openly. You know, I could walk into a bar and talk about 9/11 and not get...
Yeah, but that didn't happen in your own country. What if something happened in your own country like that? Would you be able to still walk in the bar and talk about it, or no?
Good question.
Well, it's hard to say. It hasn't happened. I mean, I sort of thought Australia might be the next target for one of these false flags, you know, but it hasn't happened yet.
And if it did, it'd probably get your country a little more worried, right? At least the people that were awake. I mean, they'd definitely be more worried. If it could happen in Australia, it could happen here, you know? That's the type of thing.
Now, though.
Hey, another quick question, James. How about the Islamophobia, like that we see in the United States? Of course, you guys are not far from Indonesia and Malaysia and stuff, where they had, you know, like the Bali bombing supposedly, and all these other bullshit false flags. In your country, are people, you know, are they tolerant of Muslims, or is it like, you know, the same where like it is in Europe and here now, where it's like, you know, a lot of prejudice against the Muslim community or whatever, or people they perceive to be Muslims?
Not for any of those reasons. If there is, probably just for pure just racist reasons, you know. It's just for racist.
Yeah, there's always going to be a few racists, right? I'm just wondering, like here is, it's almost like a general consensus. Like, you know, the other day, when we had that the shooting at that Sikh temple. It's, you know, it was really weird. And, you know, I'm sitting at the dinner table, my mother and her husband, and my mother's husband says, you know, the crazy thing about it is that the people that got shot, they weren't even Muslims. They weren't even, he goes, they were Sikhs, which, you know, which makes it even sadder. So it's like, wait, so it wouldn't have been as sad if it was, if it was Muslims, you know, and that's like the mind state of your average American. And, you know, and he doesn't, he's not like a racist guy or whatever, but I mean, obviously he has, you know, just from his programming is racist somewhat, just because of, you know, what he's learned on the you know, the television screen and, you know, and from these, idiots on the internet that pass around all this, you know, this bullshit information, you know?
Yeah, that's what, like I was saying, people need, everybody needs to take a responsibility and discern a little bit before you pass it around. You know, that's what we all have to do.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
yeah,
James. I mean, what are you going to say?
People aren't like that just because they don't think any less of them because they're Muslim. But, you know, if the person's racist, then they're probably not going to like them, you know? Just because they're racist, you know? It's nothing to do with anything, really. It's just intolerance. It's not... They don't think they're terrorists or nothing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Over here, though, I mean, at least people's tolerance is a lot lower for Muslims than it used to be. That's what... What I mean, it's like,
right.
I know a lot of people that are like, oh yeah, go kill those friggin' Taliban, go kill those towel heads. They'll use like, you know, derogatory term. I'm not gonna start spitting them all out, but you know all the words that they use.
Yeah. I don't care if they turn the middle, drop a bomb and drop a nuke and turn the Middle East to glass.
Oh, yeah, I have a friend that says that. Nuke the whole place, nuke the whole Middle East, and end all the problems. Okay, well, the people that are nuking it, you don't think they're a problem? They're over here nuking people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's insane. Gabe was, hold on, I wanted to go back. There was something that he touched on a minute ago. He's also wanted to talk about the MSM, not talking about, you know, the Sikh shooting. And you know, I don't know if anyone's looked into that much either, but supposedly there was multiple shooters and whatnot. You know, we don't know if this is another staged event or if it did happen. But regardless of which, no, of course that's a normal MO from the mainstream media. It's disgusting, of course, but that's, you know, what they do. Another thing we were talking about was the legalization of drugs. And Gabe had said I would legalize all drugs, and I said I would too. You know, we've come to the point. Here's where we are. You know. With the information out there that if everybody had the right education and weren't traumatized, in school by these, you know, DARE cops coming in and, you know, telling you that pot is as bad as heroin. And, you know, if we actually educated people and told people, you know, which drugs or, you know, or mind altering substances are okay, you know, and which ones are not, and, you know, and which ones, and, you know, I think that the world would be a totally different place, and I think obviously the crime would drop dramatically. And like Gabe was saying, you know, we wouldn't have the prison industrial complex like it is now. You know, but
they like that. They make money off that. Those are private.
Of course,
private.
Of course, you know, and even the you know the state prisons and stuff that, you know, they're making boatloads off of that too. You know, yeah, but the whole thing is you know, yeah, we're big boys and girls. We can decide for ourselves and for our children, you know, what to put in our bodies. And that's the biggest thing I think Americans should be offended about is that, you know, and everyone all over the world, whoever, you know, especially with Codex and things like that, you know, being spun around, being talked about. And I believe that eventually will take place, you know, where you won't be able to buy any supplements without a prescription. You know, but the whole thing is, you know, if you want to shoot heroin, fine. You know, the only problem I have is, you know, getting behind the wheel of a car and selling it to a kid. Besides that, you know, I was talking actually a Facebook discussion yesterday, and someone said, well, we should have no laws. And I mean, I disagree with that, because I do think that they're, you know, what do you do to a murderer? I mean, you know, you can't just do vigilante justice on someone, because what if they didn't do it? I do think we should have, somewhat of the same court system. It needs to be totally redone, though, and get rid of this maritime admiralty law and all this other straw man bullshit. But, you know, let's get, you know, a real court and a real system and, somewhat of a, based on the republic, you know, that it was. I mean, without all the bullshit that these agents added into it. But no, I mean, you know, if we were could start over, we took control. Yeah, I would legalize all drugs. I would legalize anything. If you want to sniff paint, go ahead and sniff paint. You know, you're gonna know the effects of it. You know that, and you know what? If you want to arm yourself, go ahead and arm yourself. I mean, you know, and you know what? I think there would be a lot less violence. Look at countries like Amsterdam and stuff too, where pretty much everything is legal. You know, there's legalized prostitution. There's legalized, the soft drugs are all legal over there, and their crime rate is lower than I think one of the lowest in Europe, and like I'd say probably 100 times lower than the U.S. I mean, you know, so I mean, it just goes to show, prohibition does not work. You know, but that's just my opinion. Go ahead, guys. I didn't want mean to rant on for too long, but go ahead.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Go ahead, James.
I was just going to say, in regards to that question in the chat, I think that if the person, his friends from Paris, I mean France, but I think one of the few countries that didn't get involved in the Iraq conflict too, so perhaps the attitudes there might be a little different. You know, a lot of people just follow the government, you know. You know, like France weren't involved in the Iraq war, so their attitudes might be a little different, but in my experience, most people are just much the same the world over. But it's also as well here, though, I mean, even though they're twice as far away, because we get a lot more, you know, immigration from England and Europe, you know, because we're part of the Commonwealth, so, you know, we're a lot closer to England than what we are to the States, even though we're closer geographically, you know. There's not that many Americans, you know, that really come down here. So it's more English people. So our culture's a lot closer to what's going on in England. But as you can see in England and Australia, you know, the countries that have followed the States, you know, the police state there is obviously more inclined to, because they also banned guns in England, and the crime rate's gone up, I think. And funnily enough, as well, you know, we're shocked that the English police.
What, their cops don't carry guns?
No, they don't. I mean, obviously, there's like an armed response team, you know, like a SWAT team, and they do have guns in their car and that sort of thing, but they don't carry.
Wow. Yeah, but the regular ones walking around don't, is what you're saying, like just walking the beat or whatever.
Don't. Yeah, they don't.
Wow. That's so hard for us to imagine, because
I know it's like it's crazy for us to imagine. You can't even picture how they get their job done. You know, it's like,
well, I mean, to be honest, I mean, I could imagine. I just can't imagine them not having. You know, I don't think in America, okay. I don't think they wouldn't show up to a call without a gun.
No,
you know.
let's say you can imagine it, right? So what happens when they're following their procedure and they don't have a gun and they go after a suspect and the suspect has a gun? It's like, now they're
well, I think
right,
you got to remember, I think the thing you got to remember is that other countries don't quite have the guns. They don't really have as many guns, you know, like people don't right. generally tend to.
So it'll be a lot harder for regular people to get too, obviously, right? If it's illegal and the cops don't have them.
Well, yeah, like, mind you, the old saying goes that if the outlaw guns, then the outlaws will have them, so.
Right.
I don't know, really. The police just, in certain parts of the world, they just don't carry the same stick, you know, as they do in the States. But mind you, yeah. you know, it hasn't helped or crime in the States either. I mean, so, but people certainly have more respect for the police, you know, in America than they do in other parts of the world. But along with that goes the fact that a lot of the police probably are assholes over there, you know, whereas the ones over here are probably more sort of nice. So, I mean, it's probably a bit of...
But there's probably some intimidation factor with that too, wouldn't you say, James? Like, the ones over here have guns, so they're assholes, you know? That's what people think, you know? Or they're intimidated by them, you know?
Well, yeah, but I'm just more going off what you and Justin and people have said, that most of your experiences with the police have been bad, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They definitely have. A lot of times you'll get pulled over and, like, you won't even... Let's say you get pulled over and you're not even doing anything that gives them a reason to want to search your car. They'll still search your car and
right.
go through that whole hassle and rip through all your stuff, you know what I mean? For no reason. They don't have to smell right. anything. They don't have to see anything. They'll just do it. They don't care. Right. They'll just do it. It happens all the time.
And nowadays, that's the thing, is when they go through the academy, they see, the fact is, in America, they don't even know they're not even laws. They don't even know the policies that they're enforcing, because they're policies. They're not even laws, most of them. But that's what they do. The police, you know, protect policies of the you know, of the elite. But the main thing is, though, is no, you know, like Brian said, they don't give a shit one way or another. They'll forge a warrant if they have to, you know. They'll do whatever they can do. And now here's the thing too that most people don't realize. I mean, you know, when you get pulled over on the side of the road, you know, that's considered detainment. So I mean, you know, the whole thing is, you know, when you get pulled over, you should ask, you know, what am I being detained for? And if they say you're not detained, well, then that means that you're free to go. You know, most people don't know that, you know, and I mean, a lot of people, you know, are scared to talk to cops like that. But I mean, that's the way we have to do it, to get the power back and to let them know that people actually, you know their laws and know their stuff and know that, you know, that they can't keep you for an unreasonable amount of time, you know, without charging you with anything. And that's the problem. And, you know, they do it, though, anyway. And that's, you know, they don't care. And that's what they're brainwashed. The academies are total brainwashing schools.
Yeah, the system in a lot of other countries, it just doesn't protect the police as much. You know, if they screw up, they'll probably will be held accountable. But, I mean, in regards to the guns thing, it's kind of funny, because you'd think the police without guns, how would they do their job? But, I mean, we've had a few police shot over the last few years, but I think they went for about 25, 30 years, you know, we didn't have a single policeman killed in the line of duty, you know. So it's weird, like, how over there, you know, like, the police carry guns, but there'll still be lots more killed, you know. Like, it's just, like you said, you know, prohibition's got nothing to do with anything, you know. Whether you've got guns or you don't got them, it's probably not going to influence your crime rate one way or the other, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the prohibition definitely keeps the jails packed and keeps people hopeless, though, you know, and everything else strung out in these drugs. But no, I agree with you. No, it makes sense. You know, it's a different world. I think we have a bunch of people, James, that want to come stay with you until we get our feet on the ground, since you told us that your cops don't have guns.
Well, it's weird, though, you know, because I was reading something once as well. A lot of bars had experimented with, you know, female doormen, you know, bouncers. And a lot of people think that was a joke, but they found that when they had female bouncers, they didn't get as much trouble, you know. Like, obviously, you need the heavy-duty backup, but, you know, a lot of bars and nightclubs said when they had female bouncers on the door, they didn't get as much trouble, you know. So it's weird, you know. Sometimes you think you're down.
If you think about it, no, that makes sense, though, because, I mean, you know, you're not a lot of times a drunk guy is going to want to, you know, act like a tough guy and maybe, you know, and beat up a bouncer, you know, try to beat up a bouncer or something like that, or or even just disrespect a club. But if you have a girl telling him nicely not to do it, you know, it's a lot, you know, it's different than, you know what I'm saying? Especially when you get liquor in people like that.
Yeah.
And I was a bouncer for a while.
I could see my friends acting different if there was a girl instead of a guy and they had a buzz going. I could definitely see them backing down a little more.
Totally.
It makes sense. I think you guys got a lot of things right over there, man. They really do.
Yeah,
I know it's not perfect. It's much like, you know, the rest of the world, but I mean, I think you guys are definitely more in the right direction with some of the things like the female bouncers and the no guns and whatnot.
Well, I think like, for example, being a bouncer, like I think being a bouncer is as much about people management as it is about being a good fighter or whatever. I mean, you know, that's just the last resort, you know.
Yeah. Oh, especially if you have like a pretty girl working the door, the guys are more likely to respect her and probably gawk over her, rather than you know, get all physical, get all, you know, get out of my face type of attitude when they get a little alcohol in them, you know.
Exactly. No, it makes sense. I've seen it in place in a couple places, but usually there is a big goon around too or whatever, you know.
Still need that but when things go bad, but you know.
Right.
But if you ask most guys, you know, most guys are more scared of girls than they say they are, you know.
A lot of guys won't
fuck with a girl. It's weird.
Yeah, it is. It would be a lot different, but I think it would work here too. I do. Not 100%. Of course, it'd still be trouble, but I think it would go down a little bit. I do. And then, of course, you would have some guys on standby, though, just to, you know, in case, you know, in the back or whatever.
Yeah, it's like it's just to point out that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, how can you have cops without guns, you know, but it's not always about, you know, how big the stick you carry is. It's
right.
Just about how you use it. You know?
No, you're 100% right, and you know, that's the thing is, a lot of times people don't understand that, you know, you get. You know, what's the old saying? You get more bees than honey. You know, and it's true as far as you know, in life goes. I would rather be respected than feared, and that's the you know, and I think anybody out there, you know, that wants the opposite is totally wrong, because you know, respect is something that is earned. You know, fear is something that is, you know, it's more just control. It's more playing on your emotions, and it's not only that, but it's wrong. You know, to, you know, don't be, you know, I don't know. The whole thing is, you know, it's a power thing, and you know, and I would rather someone, you know, respect me for being a good person than to fear me because I might, you know, choke the shit out of them. You know, it's nice to have both, but you know, but think about it. That's how these empires are run, by fear. You know, and that's what keeps the slaves moving, is fear. You know, I don't know. I'm just disgusted in the inhumanity right now, and the lack of caring, and the lack of you know, wanting to make it better. You know, what's Gabe? What's he talking about? Patrick Swayze. He's talking about Roadhouse. I don't know
what he's...
Gabe also wanted to thank James for letting us film Lord of the Rings there. I tell you the truth, I have never seen the Lord of the Rings movies.
I haven't seen it either.
I know people probably think I'm nuts for never seeing them, but
I have no interest in seeing that, honestly.
You know what though, Brian, I say that, but every time I say that, they're like no, you love, you know, people that know me said, oh, you love them, this and that. I don't know. Yeah, I was right about Roadhouse. Okay, cool.
Well, the director was a Kiwi, so I mean, no one led anyone. You know, it did what he wanted to do.
Yeah, that's how it's gonna be.
I mean, you know, we're getting a lot of movies filmed out here. I think James Cameron recently bought some land down here, so I think the next Avatar or something might be being filmed down here. So,
oh, he's a scumbag.
Yeah. Well, you have to watch the Titanic shit, you know?
James, well, not that, yeah, the Titanic movie, none of that, but how every...
Give us a little bio on who James Cameron is, one of you guys. What's he make? What's he got under his belt?
He makes like every big blockbuster, like every summer blockbuster. He made Titanic. He's made millions of movies, or not millions, but like he's made hundreds of movies, produced or directed. And yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised you don't know him. I mean, he's
no, I
he's,
do know. I do know who he is. Okay. I mean, I know he's a big time director. I just wasn't right, sure which right. projects he's worked on. You know right. what I mean?
You know, let me pull him up on if my antique of a computer's working.
Why don't you go ahead and we're gonna take a quick 4 minute break. All right, James, will you stay on the line or you have to go?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay, cool. We'll be right back, guys. You listen to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
Fireproof booth, cause you know I'm known to melt a wire too. You need a fire engineer when I lay this blaze. I melt down tracks, stacks, reels, and sleeves. Hit the studio, jars of dro, bars to blow. BC go with that arsenic flow. Fuck that, don't hold me back. I roll with crack. Y'all cats told Mac the rap. Y'all don't realize y'all released the beast untamed. Speech all flame, streets y'all blame. It should be an honor for y'all to speak my name. I could go before your auntie could beat my game. Gotta laugh, don't act like you spit it the same. Why you motherfuckers can't get in the game? I come from high school and go straight to the league. Who you know who can spit it with seed? Yeah, nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. You motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak sell, set you free. Nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak sell, set you free. Ain't nothing changed with Z. I'm still stuck in the kitchen. So what I'm signed? That's fine. Still stuck in position. You motherfuckers know me well. Couple court cases from jail. Couple 404 shells from hell. Stuck on this mission. Go home, my girl fussing and bitching. Motherfucker, won't you change your life? I'm thinking. Motherfucker, won't I change my wife? Ignorant bastard, laughing like fuck the rap shit. It's just another hustle, another way for niggas to touch you. Now they know the face of beans. Now they see my face on screens. And I ain't even chased this dream. I feel sorry for those who did. Y'all niggas can't stop the war. Whether rock or raw, I'm slinging coke in a rock velour. You niggas know what block I'm on. Glock and palm. You wanna get shot, karate chop, or stab this on. Nigga, motherfucker. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak sells. Set you free, nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak sells. Set you free, nigga. Black Friday management and rocks the label. And I still hit you niggas with shots that's fatal. That bullshit best can't save you. I had a doc open you up from chest to navel. See my face on cable and have flashbacks of that cold ass table and them hoes I gave you. I'm that nigga that'll come and pour salt in your wound at the hospital by the cop guard in your room. You got to see what I've seen, look where I've looked, touch what I've reached, to take what I took. You got to go where I've gone, walk where I've walked, to get where I'm at, to speak what I talk. You got to lay where I've laid, stay where I've stayed, play where I played, to make what I made. You got to move what I move, use what I use, use tools how I use, use fools how I use. Nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak sells, set you free. Nigga, the truth. Every time I step in the booth, I speak the truth. Y'all know what I'm bringing to you. I bring the truth. Motherfuckers know who I be. I be the truth. What I speak sells, set you free.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. We're going into the third hour right now. Well, actually, we've done 3 hours. We're going into the fourth hour right now, actually. I'm here with my co-host, Justin Cook. We're also joined on the phone by James from New Zealand, who's given us a little bit of perspective of how things operate out there. It's interesting because before James, we also had a caller from Norway earlier, too. So it's good to get people from all over the world chiming in. Definitely a good thing.
Definitely good stuff. Yeah, and earlier James was just talking about how James Cameron had moved out there, and I was thinking, you know, I know I've seen him on a lot of movies. Let me just run down some of his movies, obviously, and some of the propaganda we've seen in some of these. We have movies like Avatar, which, you know, I would say definitely has to do with, like, the Agenda 21 type thing. The Terminator movies, which, if you saw the pre-programming of the 9/11 thing, obviously, and not only that, but you have the you know, just the Terminator is like a transhumanist or you know, a machine-run world, you know, pretty much. Alien ties into the alien deception. True Lies was a big piece of pre-9/11 propaganda.
Well, you want to talk about True Lies? How about the Titanic movie? I mean,
there you go.
Total Lies. How's that?
Yeah. Well, the whole Titanic movie was you know, obviously, for those that know the truth about the Titanic, you know, it was most likely actually the Olympia that was sunk, and the Olympia was already damaged. And that's why if you see pictures of it, you can still see, like, the some of the lettering from the Olympia. And here's another thing about that, obviously, is there was three big opponents of the Federal Reserve that were you know, Illuminati insiders. You had Benjamin Guggenheim, Isidore Strauss, and John Jacob Astor, and they all died in the Titanic, and that was another thing. The boat captain was Edward Smith, who is a known Jesuit. And supposedly, I believe it was, I think it was J.P. Morgan that was supposed to be on that boat, too, and then decided not to go on it. You know, there's so much that has to do with the Titanic, and which really laid the foundation for the Federal Reserve Act. Go ahead.
I would go as far as to say, what did they do? Take the insurance money and roll it over and start the bank?
wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, that's actually,
because it happened the next year. We got to tell everybody the dates. I mean, the Titanic went down in, what was it, 1916 or something?
1912.
What was the date?
1912. 1912, and then they
started the Federal Reserve the year later.
Yep. Exactly.
Months later, not even a year later. I mean, it was really months later. You know.
Yeah. Let me. There's actually a few more other movies in here too. You know,
say about Titanic.
Yeah, good.
Go ahead.
Just as well, I think. Also, using that movie, they slipped in a bit of pre-programming too. That was 97, when they started hitting a lot of this. There was a deep impact in the Armageddon and everything around about that time with the World Trade Center scene.
Right.
But, you know, Titanic was pretty much, you know, it wasn't the biggest movie of all time, but in terms of the cinema, the gate sales, I mean, you know, everyone saw that movie.
Yeah, it was huge.
The scene in particular with the sinking of the ship is quite stark, because how it goes up much vertically, and everyone's jumping off it and falling. And very similar to the jumpers on 9/11.
Wow.
And the way it sinks, you know, straight down.
Yes,
it didn't even go down like that. They changed that for the movie, you know?
Right. Well. No. Supposedly, it did, but who was really there? You know. But the whole thing is, you know, and they made the explosions look like that too, where you have the them going up and then, you know, coming down. Exactly. And it went down just like a boat in the water. Wow. That's a great revelation, James.
Recently, they've done some documentaries and they say that, you know, it most likely didn't sink like that. Of course, it sunk more like a sort of a 90 degree angle, you know, on the diagonal, which is how most ships sort of sink. But that, yeah, you know, just that the way it goes straight down, you know, and the way that people are falling off it,
yeah,
it's very, very, very eerily similar to what happened 4 years later. What we were shown, I should say.
Right. No, definitely, and it made you, you know, what else too, and they made you, you know. they put this background and gave you these real identities of these people on this ship, so you didn't just think of them as, you know, the same thing as far as, you know, with the victims and everything. You know, the, you know what I mean. They try to do the same exact thing. No, that's really. I wish I thought of that before. I give it to you for that. Yeah, no, you're 100% right there.
It goes straight up and down. It really does.
It really does.
Because the people are falling off because they can't stay on.
Before
they need to jump off, they're falling off because the thing's going straight up, you know? Straight up and then in.
Yeah, just a sneaky bit of pre-programming there, you know? And what better place to do it than
in 1997 too, when they were 1997 was also the year where I think it was the year where they really did it,
hardcore, because I know when I built that 9/11 predictive programming thread, and I'll get that for you guys as I'm talking here, I was putting the names and the dates of the movies and the TV shows and everything as I was throwing them up there. They were like because they were spread. There were things going as far back as the 70s, but there was the pre-programming as far as 1997 and the 1998. I mean, it was everywhere. I mean, there's probably 30 different movies you could find with 9/11 pre-programming just in one night if you stayed up a few hours and looked for it, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. And not only that, I mean, obviously we know, too, from the research that has been done is, you know, in 97 is when they started putting the businesses up, you know, filling the towers up with these fake businesses, with these, the occupancy report and everything, you know, started putting all these, you know, saying that was 97 when they did that as well. So yeah, no, it all ties in. Obviously, it's
Yeah, guys, here's the thread we're talking about right here. Take a look at this. Click on that link, guys, and go to our forums real quick. Right, it's gonna take you right to the thread we're talking about, and then just take a quick look through. We don't have to spend a whole bunch of time on it, but we should spend a few minutes on it. We've done it before, but there's a lot of new people here this time. I mean, just look at the top image. That's from Armageddon, just 4 years before 9/11. Look at the Twin Towers. You guys, I live 200 and maybe 40 miles from there. It's not that far, you know. I mean, it's like a 3.5 hour drive, maybe 4 hours, maybe three, depending on how fast you go, you know. And I had never even heard of those buildings before that. I mean, maybe that makes me ignorant, but I hadn't. Really, you know, it was just something that wasn't talked about. Nobody
really
ever talked about
the
World Trade Center. No, I hadn't really. I mean, I did. I mean, I knew what it was when they said it before I seen it. But it was like it wasn't always talked about. Like, people always talk about the Empire State Building. People always talk about the Statue of Liberty. My point is that if it was one of those, maybe you could see that it's in all these movies. But it's not. It's not even one of those. It's the World Trade Center, and you even have it in comic books and being blown up in 1975 on the National Lampoon cover. 1975, you know. And we got that Terminator scene for you too. It's the very bottom image on our thread that Justin was talking about with the 9/11 bridge.
You know what I'd like to do is compare. Let's go back. Maybe during the next few weeks we can go and see. You know, how many instances were there of the Sears Tower or the Empire State Building or Statue of Liberty being, you know, how many, you know, of those are we seeing similar to the world? I mean, maybe because we're not looking for them, but I doubt
there's all I can think of for the Empire State Building would be Independence Day and King Kong. That's all I can think of.
And Ghostbusters, too. Wasn't State Puff. But I don't know if he tore it down or anything. I just remember.
I don't think it was anything that tragic, though. You know, like that happened.
Right.
I don't think the whole building came down. I think that maybe they killed Marshmallow Man.
The number of times that the building was destroyed in media is totally inconsistent. In fact, in terms of a movie, I mean, it was good, like the Empire State Building. It was good for an establishing shot or something. But those buildings were considered to be quite bland and unattractive by many. I mean, as I said, you know, the number of times they were destroyed in movies, I mean, they were famous buildings, there's no doubt about it. They were the tallest buildings in the world, and they were built and second tallest behind the Sears Tower. But You know, the amount of times they were destroyed, you know, they weren't the Empire State Building. You know, that's an iconic building, you know, the most famous, perhaps, in the United States, you know. You know, at that time, you know, they weren't on that level, you know.
No, you weren't. It was everywhere. It was crazy how it was all over the place. I mean, like I said, I don't live that far from there. I know Justin lives even closer. You know?
Yeah, I'm about 90 miles away or so. And
yeah, so that's nothing. That's nothing. You're real close.
Yeah. To be honest, on that day, I remember seeing smoke, but that was probably, you know, the big smoke cloud they pumped out, and they probably, you know, they wanted us to see that from across Long Island Sound, you know.
Did you ever visit the complex?
What was that?
Did you ever visit the complex prior to 9/11?
No, I never visited it prior. No, I had been to New York and never visited the World Trade Center. I wish on, you know, hindsight being 2020, I wish I did now, but never did. I went to Statue of Liberty and stuff like that. Never went to the Empire State Building either, you know, and Metropolitan. You know, I did a lot of touristy shit, but never went there. I never really wanted to. Like you said, they were unattractive buildings. They're nothing really. You know, besides being the financial center, there wasn't really much reason to go there. You know, besides they were tall buildings.
Everybody, check out the link that Equinox put up there too. He threw one up after I did. It's right near the bottom of the chat. Make sure you check out that predictive programming link too. Equinox is really good at this stuff. Really good at picking stuff out of the video and everything. So you should definitely.
In regards to the World Trade Center, I think in terms of what we know and what we don't know, I think, you know, we have enough video home movies, you know, to know that obviously the outdoor viewing platform was the main attraction. The Windows on the World restaurant was definitely there, and, you know, and all that sort of thing. But the question is, what was between the lobby, you know, floors 5 and 6, and, you know, floors 107 to 110? That's... Yeah, I mean, we know what was on top. We know the mall underneath. We know all that. But what we don't know is what was between there, and the floors themselves are so generic that there is a little bit of video, very hard to find, of people at their desks and in the building. But it really doesn't prove much. I mean, it could have been shot anywhere. You know, the floors were all so generic and identical. You know.
Yep. And they could have easily used the 93 event to get any, if they did have people there, say they wanted to make some rent money off some people for 15 years or whatever since the 70s, and you could easily use the event in 93 if it was what we were, you know, if it really was a bomb in the basement, in the parking garage.
Yeah, well,
you could use that to scare people out.
Yeah, here's the thing, you know, most people I know, like, most people working in the World Trade Center would be, you know, like, I hate to stereotype, but they'd be pretty snobby, you know, they'd be well off, they would be rich people. Would you go back to work in a building that had been bombed? Most people I know wouldn't go back there, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That'd be a big excuse to move a lot of people out, you know, those were rich, mostly high-paid people. I don't think they would continue to work in that place after it had been bombed, you know?
They'd refuse to, and their company would have to move if they weren't going to do it voluntarily.
Like, a lot of people would just move house if they get robbed or something, and there's no chance of that person ever coming back. Can you imagine if your building was a terrorist target? I don't think most people would go back to work there.
No, I don't think so either. I think once people started moving out, it would catch on like wildfire, too. People would just keep going out. You know, you see the neighbors next to you moving out on the same floor as you. Oh, I'm getting out of here, too.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Funny. Gabe was just talking about the, you know, just the occult aspects of the Twin Towers, which we've gone down before. You know, obviously he said, you know, the Gemini twins and Mercury Hermes, the pet goat of, you know, Bush reading in the class, and of course the thing that Brian's been posting out lately, we went over the plane kite must hit steel video, you know, and that was a ritual, and that was just those poor.
That was crazy. Young kids. I'm gonna dig that up while you're talking, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, you had these young kids in that Florida classroom. See, there with Bush. Bush must have been doped out of his mind to even be there. He looked like a pedophile caught with his hand down a kid's pants. But you know, in reality, that's really what you know. He was spiritually raping those kids. But to make a long story short, you know, that whole thing was one of the most disgusting rituals I've ever seen.
I'm gonna play it.
That didn't involve anal rape or anything like, you know, that didn't involve actual physical contact, you know.
Go ahead, Justin. Finish it. I don't want to cut you short. Go ahead. I'm going to play the clip when you're done. It's a 2-minute clip.
I just wanted I talked about it before again, but Gabe was just bringing up all the other, you know, things from different mythologies, Romulus and Remus, Castor and Pollux. Castor and Pollux I haven't heard of before, but you'll have to have to fill me in on that, but... And the other one is, of course, Joaquin and Boaz, which is, you know, famous, I believe it's Babylonian ones that the Freemasons are big on. But yeah, go ahead. That's all I pretty much have on that. But yeah, go ahead with your, with the plane kite must hit steel video or whatever.
All right, I'm going to play it. Guys, have a listen to this. It's only 2 minutes. And if you guys remember seeing Bush read the book to the kids in the classroom and then 9/11 started unfolding and he stayed in the classroom, you guys all know the story. Well, right before that, what you used to seeing or, you know, what you saw back then on TV, they had almost like a little ritual that went down. And he had actually, before the events even unfolded, he had the kids saying, kite, plane, must hit steel. He had them reciting it, and we're going to play that for you right now. Here it goes.
Get ready to read all these words on this page without making a mistake. Look at the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
King.
Yes, sound it out. Get ready.
Kids.
Sound it out. Get ready.
Kids.
What word?
Kid.
Yes, kid. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
Steel.
What word?
Steel.
Yes, steel. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Playing.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kit.
Yes, kit. Get ready.
Steel.
Yes, steel. Get ready.
Plane.
Yes, plane. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Go ahead and go pick your reader up from under your seat. Open your book up to lesson 60 on page 153. Count of three, everyone on page 153. If the yellow paper is going to bother you, drop it. Thank you. Everybody touch the title of your story. Fingers under the title. Get ready to read the title, The Fast Way. We're waiting for one number. Thank you. Fingers under the title of the story. Get ready.
The
Pet Go. Yes, the
Pet Go. There's when he reads the book. That's when he starts to read the book at the end. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Justin, I'm so glad you showed me that. I had not heard of that until you showed me that. Not even that long ago, guys. It was only just a few weeks ago myself that I saw that for the first time.
Yeah, what was weird is I remember doing the pre-programming and stuff, and I was like, you know, I remember a couple of years ago when I first saw it, probably around 2008, 2009, when I first hit YouTube, and obviously, you know, Facebook, like, you know, it flew around like wildfire for a minute, but I couldn't believe how sick it was, and to me that was just like, you know, that was the worst piece I've ever seen as far as you know, like I said before, spiritual rape and you know, vampire, you know, energy vampirism. That's what that was. Just like at your Jay-Z concerts, I said it before, said it again, you know, you go to these concerts and you put up your OTO symbol, aka throwing up the rock. And you're sitting there as a you know, like an initiate, giving them all your power, you know, and he's obviously a big Thelemite and Crowley follower, you know, and that's what it's all about. That, you know, and if you don't believe me, look it up. Look up what Ordo Templi Orientis' hand symbol is. Same exact hand symbol that Jay-Z decided to make as the Rockefeller symbol. You know, throwing up the diamond or throwing up the rock, whatever you want to call it. You know, and obviously with the Crowley sayings on his T-shirts and all the other actions that he does, and, you know, and just, you know, his buddy Kanye West, you know, there's no denying it, you know, that he's, you know, but obviously we're beyond that part, but that's, you know, that's all I wanted to add to that. Go ahead.
No, I'm glad you added it, man. I'm glad you added it. And now I'm wondering, when I went to the concert, right, at the end, they kept repeating the same song over and over again, like a ridiculous amount of times. And I was like saying to my friend, I'm like, well, yo, what's with this? Why are they playing this song so many times? Now I'm wondering if they played it like 9 times or 11 times or one of these numbers that they like to use a lot, you know? Because it was a whole bunch of – it was like something you would never see anybody do at a concert. Never mind an encore. I mean, they played the song – one song, they let the whole thing play, and then they would redo the whole damn song. And they must have done it like 11 times, I'm telling you. It was a high number.
Yeah, no, they...
I wish I knew for real. I wasn't paying attention to how many times. Like we talked about before,
they recently did it. In Paris, they played Niggas in Paris 11 times. You know, and obviously 11 is the number of sorcery, you know. The Freemason pillars, all, you know, the whole nine, you know. So I mean, it's obviously, you know, it's and also too, 11 is the 10 is the God number, 11, you know, Trump's the God number, 9 is man, 9-11 is man and sorcery, and, you know, man over God type thing, and that's what they're going for, and that's why they made 9-1-1 the phone call for an emergency too. Same thing, it's all sorcery. It's all magic.
Weird. I remember being at a concert. I've been to more than a few concerts, and the only time a song was ever played more than once, I remember going to a Supertramp concert. They played a song twice, like, you know, once near the beginning and once in the encore. Like, you never hear that.
I witnessed this too. I was there, guys, and I wish I knew the exact number, because I'd be lying to you if I told you I knew it was 11 or I knew it was 9. But I think it was definitely up around 10 times, because they just kept playing it over and over. Like, it was so ridiculous. Like, it was so overdone. Like, you know, if you maybe do it over once, because everybody's loving it, but they just kept playing the song over and over again. I even said to my friend, I turned to him, and I'm like, What is going on here? Why are they playing the song so many times? This is retarded, you know? I wanted them to go to the next song, and they just kept playing the same one. I never heard that either. You know, I've been to not a lot of concerts, but I've been to a few, and you know, I never heard even a song repeated once. I've never have. That was the first time. And I had been to a concert where, you know, way when Jay-Z was just starting, he was there with DMX and Method Man and Redman, and they had come to our city, and they didn't replay anything then, you know. But that's probably before he got deep into all this, you know.
Right.
I still can't believe that whole Nicki Minaj thing, you know.
Oh, that's crazy, right? How they just take his voice and slow it down?
Yeah, like I've done a lot of like audio work and slowing voices down, speeding voices up, and it's just way too much of a coincidence how in regular time she sings so fast, you know, and some of the words, they don't come out right, you know.
No.
And it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, if you slow down a woman's voice, it's never going to sound like a guy. Like,
I've slowed down
so many songs. Like, it's never going to happen like that.
No, not perfectly like that. And then it's, you know what I mean? And it's like, I've showed a lot of people that, and some people have called me crazy. Oh, you crazy? How I can't believe this is the same Brian that I look at when I see the 9/11 stuff, yada yada yada. And I'm just like, what are you deaf? This is what I'm thinking. Are you fucking deaf? Yeah, like, seriously,
it comes out perfectly. Like, it's a person singing slowly, like a third speed. It comes out perfectly. Like, it's not when you slow a voice down or speed it up. There's imperfections, you know, there's imperfections in Nicki Minaj's songs at regular speed. When you slow it down, that's when you hear it perfectly. It's just somebody singing at one-third speed.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and that somebody is Jay-Z. It's just Jay-Z rapping. It's unbelievable. There's even a slow song that he sings that he's like actually trying to like sing, you know? And you can tell it's him because he was my favorite rapper for so long, you know? Like, I know all his songs. And I'm sure Justin, you know, knows a lot of it. And
oh, yeah.
I know his voice, man. I mean, if there's anybody's voice I know, it's like Jay-Z. I mean that's an unmistakable voice. It's almost like it's almost like, you know, like when we were talking earlier about, you know, the Dallas Goldbug crap. It's like, do they think we're stupid? That's like taking George Bush and telling you he's somebody else, you know? it's unbelievable. I wrote a blog on this, guys, and I'll dig it up while we're talking. I put a whole bunch of the videos together, actually, that have slowed down already for you, and they actually deleted like four of them off of YouTube. The best ones, they deleted, but I'll dig up my blog that I did on this, and you guys got to check out some of the videos. Nicki Minaj slowed down. It's literally just Jay-Z rapping. That's all it is, and they just speed it up. Like, yeah, you know, back in the day before we had CDs and we had the dual cassette decks to record and you had the high-speed dubbing, it's like they took Jay-Z's voice and just put it in and put it on high-speed dubbing and they sit back, don't even worry about it. They think everybody's that stupid.
I wonder if we should get a regular Jay-Z song and speed it up and see what it sounds like. I'll be your bottom dollar, it'll sound like Nicki Minaj.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah, because the way, like, if you listen, that song in particular, Right Through Me, that one that samples the Joe Satriani riff, when you listen to her singing, like, you can hear certain words, they don't come out right. Like, I can't remember which ones, but you can just listen to her and it just doesn't sound right.
Yep.
She sounds like a coke addict or something, you know. Like,
I bet it could have been something as crazy as him sitting back there with Kanye, and they're like, yeah, I bet you I could go platinum as a female rapper.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll bet you $1 million. Okay. There they go. Exactly. Boom, their bet's on, and then they just stop mixing it in the back, and it's really, I mean, one of us, I mean, you know, with just the production knowledge that I have on here, I mean, we could probably do it, you know what I mean? I mean, it's not that difficult at all, you know?
It's all, yeah, actually, is, Equinox just put in something in the chat about the,
right,
about the car owned by James Holmes, having a registration of 119 ROC.
Click this link, guys. Right here, that'll take you to the blog, the link I just put in the chat.
And then also too, Gabe in the chat had a lot of information on 5-1, which has to do with the pentagram and the Pentagon and everything, you know. So if you want to look back in the chat, talks about Area 51, where the thing where the churches take money to, you know, most of the churches that are like under the Vatican's wing and under the, you know, under the NWO's wing or whatever, they all belong to 501c3, you know, tax exempt, and there's real churches or whatever like that won't go under that. You know, I'm not really a fan of any churches, but you know what I mean, that won't go under that. But that's it's crazy that they make these numbers, like you were saying, you know. 501c3 and then Area 51, and then of course 5-1 is the end of the Beltane festival, which is an occult holiday that starts on 4/19, and of course 4/19 and 4/20 you have the whole Columbine, Oklahoma City, you have the weed holiday on 4/20. There's something else too, and then you have the dates of Hitler and Osama bin Laden's supposed deaths were announced on May Day and 5/1. You know, and May Day is also the big communist holiday. There's so much stuff here that, you know, it just shows that, you know, these numbers are more than just, you know, someone would be a fool not to consider that these numbers have importance to these people.
Oh, I'm sure that they do. I'm sure that they do. You know what I'm going to do right now, though? I'm going to play a little clip that I have. And guys, this is exactly what James was talking about, the song Right Through Me by Nicki Minaj, and it's slowed down. And You guys try and tell me that's just a coincidence that she sounds exactly like Jay-Z. Exactly. It's his flow and everything. I mean, nothing's even different.
You let me win, you let me ride, you let me rock, you let me slide. And when they looking, you let me hide. Defend my honor, protect my pride. The good advice, I always hated, but looking back, it made me greater. You always told me, forget the haters. Just get my money, just get my weight up. Know when I'm lying, know when I'm crying. It's like you got it, down to a science. Why am I trying? No, you ain't buying. I try to fight it, back with defiance. You make me laugh, you make me hoarse. From yelling at you and getting at you, picking up dishes, throwing them at you. Why are you speaking when no one asks you?
You see my girl, yeah.
And how
do
I? What are we doing? Could you see through me? Cause you say Nikki, and I say who me? And you say no you, and I say screw you. Then you start dressing, and you start leaving. And I start crying, and I start screaming. The heavy breathing, well what's the reason? Always get the reaction you wanted. I'm actually fronting, I'm asking you something. Yo, answer this question, class is in session. Tired of letting passive aggression control my mind, capture my soul. Okay, you're right, just let it go. Okay, you got it, it's in the can. Before I played it, you knew my hand. You could turn a free throw to a goal. Nigga got the peephole for my soul.
Well, it's definitely, I mean, if you follow the beat, it's perfect. Like, there's no imperfections in that voice. That's clearly the way it was recorded.
No, exactly.
Yeah, and that is clearly him. That is 100% Jay-Z without a doubt. If anybody still has any doubts, I'm going to play one more clip right here, okay? I just want you guys to hear this so you know what we're hearing here.
Even if it's not.
I fly with the stars in the sky.
That's definitely Jay-Z, dude. There is no if it's not.
I believe that life is
if it's not, went out the window like a long time ago.
Doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire. It's my empire. And yes, I call the shots. I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this very moment, I slay Goliath with the sling. This very moment, I bring. Put it on everything. That I will retire with the ring. And I will retire with the crown. Yes, no, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champ. Me, but I couldn't do it all alone. We, Young Money raised me. Grew up out in Baisley, Southside Jamaica. Queens and it's crazy, cause I'm still hood. Hollywood couldn't change me. Shout out to my haters, sorry that you couldn't faze me. Ain't being cocky, we just vindicated. Best believe that when we done, this moment will be syndicated. I don't know, this night just remind me of everything they deprived me of. Put your drinks up. It's a celebration every time we link up. We done did everything they could think of. Greatness is what we wanna bring up.
Wish that I could have this moment for life.
What I tell them hoes, bow, bow, bow to me, drop down to your knees. Your money the mafia, that's where the love sees. I'm in the Dominican, Big Papi Ortiz, doing target practice, all these bitches just aiming to please. Shout out to the CEO, 500 degrees. Shout out to the OBO, Red Wings and Fatigues. Ah, niggas wanna be friends, how coincidental. This supposed to be our year, we ain't get the memo. A young king, pay me a go. 40 got a bunch of weed, he ain't even roll. These niggas be dropping songs, they ain't even cold. Weezy on top of that nigga.
That's how someone else sounds at the same at the same speed. That's how someone else sounds.
Yeah, I couldn't think of who it was. Remember I said he was actually sings. Jay-Z actually sings a slow song. Listen to this. He even calls himself a bitch in the song. Where do you hear this? You guys are gonna love this one. This is Your Love, Nicki Minaj. Slow down. Where do you hear him singing? This is fuck. This is funny.
Shawty, I'm only tell you this once. You the illest. And for your lippin', I'ma die hard like Bruce Willis.
There's your 9/11 reference. Yeah, protective programming.
You got spark. You got spunk. You got something all the girls want. You like a candy store, and I'm a toddler. You got me wanting more and much more. Your love, your love, yeah, your love, your love, yeah.
Turned it down for a second. Guys, she even looks fake. I mean, you know? I'm just gonna play one more verse and then we'll come back on. I want people to hear this where he's rapping here. He's gonna rap too.
Need to take the pop tags and be cocking the brim. Make breeze through the F, make stop at the gym. And he keep a do-bag, keep his wave on swim. What waves on swim, so they hate doing him. Anyway, I think I met him sometime before. In a different life or where I record. I mean, he was Adam, I think I was Eve. But my vision ends with the apple on the tree. S on my chest, cause I'm ready to save him. Cause I'm no one like I'm Tracy McGrady. And I think I love him like Eminem's calling Shady. When he call me mama, love mama, I call him baby. Baby. Shady, I'm only tell you this.
Alright, that's enough. I think everybody gets it now. Guys, just make sure you check out the rest of that after. Check out the rest of that blog,
yeah,
because
there's a bunch of them. There's
I put
like,
a bunch of them in there.
Yeah.
I did. I got a bunch of songs in there. And I actually ended up, I had put a few back up. So I actually have more up there than I thought.